To see the signs and wonders, and to hear the distant thunder, and to feel the whole earth rumble, that's the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. That's the dance of the rhythm of the ages, dance the dance of the rhythm of God, dance the dance of the rhythm of celebration, dance the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance the dance of the rhythm of creation. Dance the dance of the rhythm of God. Dance the dance of the rhythm of revelation. Dance the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Can't you see the victory blooming? Can't you hear the storm clouds booming? Can't you hear the mountains moving? That's the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance the dance of the rhythm of the ages. Dance the dance of the rhythm of God. Dance the dance of the rhythm of celebration. Dance the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance the dance of the rhythm of creation. Dance the dance of the rhythm of God. Dance the dance of the rhythm of revelation. Dance the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Say goodbye to all things past. Love the rhythm of God. Listen to the trumpet blast. God is coming through. Dance the dance of the rhythm of the ages. Dance the dance of the rhythm of the ages.
Jesus has passed from the gate of the church. He's free. Well, as you can see, there is my plane out there in the background. See it? It's been an exciting trip here. Kind of nice to be on my way home. Still got a little riled up, so I thought I'd do a little bit of a program here and see what it's like here in the airport. And like I was saying earlier, in another program, you know, these countries that are around the world that we like to say, but the gospel is preached in all the world. We really don't have our gospel preached that much, you know. Just because we, some missionary or something in our church happens to be in some sort of foreign country and in a little kind of community or something, doesn't make the gospel preached in all the world. And I have driven quite around here, at least my host family did. Took me through all over the island. So now I can say I've been from all the way north down to all the way south here in Taiwan. And that's an exciting thing. And I got to see a lot of things. So little small villages and how people live. And they even have a city I stayed in that has about 390,000 people and it has one 5-star hotel. So I had a good farewell dinner at this luxury hotel. It's kind of, you know, nice. One last stop. They realize that people got show me around the country. But anyway, we drove around right in the mountain area and some taller mountains, high hills, pretty high. And went through some lake up there. And through this process, you went through a lot of little cities, little towns, little villages. And I might dub in some of the storefronts and stuff that I've seen along the way. And what I'm trying to get a convey across to you is we're getting closer and closer to the last days, and I don't think too many of you realize the gospel isn't being preached in all the world, because you don't care. You only care that you might be able to support your local ministry or mission from your church. And even then, what do you do? Give a dollar? Some of you might give a little bit more. Some of them don't care at all, you know. Nothing's being given. That a missionary here and there are supporting. one note that was kind of interesting. Some countries literally beg for us Americans, y'all. Go to their country and preach. I'm online an awful lot. My screen name in Yahoo is Gays for Jesus. And the 4 is the number 4, Gays for Jesus. And you can chat with me live anytime. But you see, because of the name I have, thousands of you, tens of thousands of you, even hundreds of thousands of you have talked to me over the many years that I've been online. And also, my TV program that you're watching right now. And, you know, I've been begging. Even with the name Gay in my name, I've been begging to come to some countries. But, you know, who am I? I don't have any support from anybody. You see me on the air and you just think, oh, what a nut, what a quacko. He can't possibly be saved because he's gay. You know, God can't possibly use him. So you're not going to help support anybody that's willing, even in your own church. And I've told you, examples of the last days, you know, that church, the gospel has to be preached in all the world. And you ain't doing it, people. So what do you think that's going to, how God's going to be thinking about this kind of stuff? You know, he already kind of knows. He always set up the plan. He always set it how he's going to deal with you so that you would get your act together. He ain't going to like for some of the things that he's going to be doing, but, you know, he ain't doing it, so he's going to do some things to you. But this is what he said he's going to do, you know. Thousands of years have gone by. He told us what he's going to do. And we just sit there and we just want to say that it's going to happen, and we won't even be there. We think we're going to be raptured away, taken out of here before anything terrible happens. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says a third of the believers are going to come through replenished fire. Two-thirds are going to pass away. Two-thirds of you are going to turn your back on Christ. Right? This represents, generally speaking, a third of the world, and two-thirds of the world won't come to Christ, or we'll say a third of the world is going to be saved. I'm sorry, it's not talking about unbelievers. It's not talking about believers in other religions. It's not talking about atheists. It's talking about Christianity. Because God's dealing with his people. And he sets up and sends people to try to get you straightened out. To try to get you to toe the line. Try to obey him. He says, obey me. He gives you two commands. Pretty easy, you know. Love him and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, the golden rule. In those two commands that Jesus gives you in the New Testament covers the Old Testament. The first 4 of the 10 commandments is the first command of Jesus, saying, love God. So you got the first 4 commands of the 10 commandments that is fulfilled in the one command that Jesus gave. The second command is to love yourself as you, to love others as you would love yourself. Now this encompasses the other 6 commands. When you read over the first 4 Ten Commandments and the last 6 Ten Commandments, you will see the 2 commands of Jesus written in that. So Jesus' form of the Ten Commandments is shorthand, knocking it down to making a really, really simple, you know. Should be a no-brainer. You ought to be able to do it, man. You hard enough standing just there as a Ten Commandments, so why don't you try the 2 commands? But you can't even do that because you can't love your neighbor as yourself. You hate your neighbor. You point your fingers at him. And you won't do anything about your neighbor. You let him die. Because you're not going to go witness to him. You're not going to go to your pastor and say you want to go someplace and witness. You won't even witness in the couple blocks around your church building, let alone in your own personal neighborhood. No, we're not conditioned for this. We're not trained. Our pastors are not training us to do the work of the Lord. All that he's doing is feeding us with full of this all kind of spirituosity. You know, boy, we've become great theologians. We can discuss and argue online and anywhere else with people till the cows come home.
Have you ever gotten in any place where you can actually see Christians talking to each other? Guess what? All you're doing is trying to show somebody else how smart you are in God's Word. If you're so smart in God's Word, then why aren't you obeying God? But you need to go to another country just to see how not the gospel is being preached in all the world? Village after village, city after city. You know, I walked them, drove by them, photographed a little tiny place of this old Christianity in Taiwan, hardly at all to speak of, let alone some of the other countries. We're just buying with our feasting of our church so we can gobble up all that glorious food that comes out of your pastor's mouth. And he's not actually feeding you because your pastor has a job. Your pastor is supposed to be feeding you and training you so you can go and preach the gospel in all the world. But you can't preach the gospel in all the world if you don't go. And you're not going when you sit there in your church saying amen, amen. And once church is done, you have enough time to go get breakfast at a cafe or restaurant. And, you know, and go home, watch TV, watch sports or something like that, or do some yard work. You know, maybe that's plan for the day. You can go up fishing or go on a scenic drive or something. And this is about what your life is. You might go to the store, catch a movie at a theater or something. All these kinds of things. You don't give any thought about, like here, I'm in Taiwan right now, that all these, you don't care about how you are. So what do you call this town?
It's called
Bulayar.
How about a
ice cream bar? So it's kind of a light green with little chunks of peas with seeds in there. And it's all frozen, both really solid. It's hard to even bite into it for a while. And it's big, you know, anything frozen tastes all right. You can't really taste the thing. So, you know, it's cold and kind of interesting, you know. After all, you ever heard of a pea popsicle? Well, now I have. Yeah. What kind of place was it? Well, I'll try to edit in a. But I did get the picture of that particular thing, so I'll try to edit that in right as I'm speaking now. Now, you think that person that you just saw on the camera knows Jesus Christ? And as you've seen some of the scenes that I've been showing, does any of them look like they have an opportunity to hear the gospel?
I don't think so.
There's no TV program in here on the gospel. You know, I've been here 11 days. And I had plenty of time to be in front of the booth too, from the north to the south here in this country, this island. And you want to know something? No Christian station. You don't hear the gospel on television, but you know what you do hear? They got cables. They got satellites. They got all kinds of stuff. And you know what they have? They have about 15 channels of Buddhist monks and all that kind of stuff preaching away. You're walking down the parks and stuff like here, and maybe there's a confined area of room in the city that was so crowded. And even if no room, that's why they have so many motor scooters. You've probably seen some I've seen by now, pretty good. Millions of motor scooters. You know, they just barely fit down the alleyways where people live. They live in the alleyways. It's kind of amazing and interesting. And they're asking such nice people and everything. But they don't know Jesus. There's nothing around here for you to give them to you. It's just Jesus. That's the only thing you do. And you know, the only thing he hears about Jesus is how terrible Christians are. You know, in the news, you know, CNN or some other, or they hear only of wars of Christians and other religions and so forth, or
and they don't really hear anything really positive. They don't get to see a witness of Christ. So, I mean, are you preaching the gospel in the last day? You know, am I wasting my time talking to you? Because you've got to sit there and you've got to kid than me because you see the name Gates for Jesus on your screen there. And so you just don't want to go any further and just say, David sin. And then you'll start trying to use your theologian expertise because you're sitting in front of the pew week after week and getting that stuff coming out of your pastor's mouth using a modern translation Bible. And you don't even know where your modern translation Bible comes from. So, you know. And you're hunting it there. You're not even going to do one little thing to try to preach the gospel and all of that. You're not going to give testimony to your neighbor. At work, you don't dare speak the gospel. Here we are, a Christian nation. Supposedly founded on Christianity. Of course, that's not true, but I mean, we do have a good portion of Christian history in this country. You know, many of the founding Christians, as it were Masons, which means Masons believe that Lucifer never fell. And so you've got to get your ideas straight about America and Christianity. Never was a Christian nation. There was Christians in the nation. And the Christian leaders are steering you astray. They're getting you ready for a one world religion. They're getting you ready to worship Antichrist, making you think that he's Christ after all. Your pastors are following orders from headquarters that is telling, that is setting up to help other religions to work as a team, similar to if Jesus, back in Jesus' day, kind of, you know, because a local group of people got together and said, hey, you know, why not Jesus and Satan? You come together, after all, you know, you were up there fasting for 40 days and Satan came to see Jesus. Jesus should have said, Satan, hey, how about let's do this other thing? Instead of fighting each other, you know, why don't we just sit there and turn to God as a team and ask for God to heal the land and send food to the people that are starving and so forth like that, you know? And let's pray together, Satan, Jesus. And does that sound right? Well, that's what your pastor's doing and agreeing with, either directly or indirectly. He's got to do what the headquarters say, and the headquarters are saying, start working as a team. Be careful in your language to not offend anybody. And hey, I'm not here trying to say offend some this other religion or that other people or whatever, or culture. But we do. And as Christians, we got to know something about these people that we're being so respectful of. We're so respectful of other religions that they're going to go to hell. And you could be respectful, but you could sit there and pray up a storm, and we're smart, you know. You know, look at what the first century Christians did. They turned the world upside down. When the true witness are about to come, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to turn the world right side up. Did you know that? There was a time for the world to be upside down. And guess what? That time is coming to an end. And there's a special way that it will end. The two witnesses will turn off the water. And then they begin to turn the world right side up. Yes, people, the world will be turned right side up. And you ain't going to like it very well because it's going to hurt. You're going to think that Jesus forsook you. Because you're going to believe some of the things Jesus is going to do through these witnesses. You're going to say, if this is how Jesus really is, then I want no part of it. I just can't see how I can worship Jesus who supports so many things that I don't believe in, that I thought was sin. It's going to be shocking, some of the things you can hear. And then, you know, Antichrist's been busy. He's not sending all the demons out to possess people and everything. Because when he did that, he couldn't possibly make a one-world government. So he uses people that have free choice. No matter what you do, you cannot rebuke or command something of a person with free choice. They can choose what they want to do. You can convince them, you can persuade them, and the way you persuade them is not say, because God said it. You're never going to get anywhere. It's in the Bible. Or it's so simple, or if you don't name Jesus, you're going to go to hell. These kind of things don't mean anything to, you know, every human is pretty, you know, this thing up here, you'd be amazed how sophisticated it is. You don't have to be a Christian to have a nice working computer up here. Most evil people have some pretty fantastic brains in here. And, you know, you got to, you really know what you're trying to do, to persuade these people, to convince them that Jesus is the Christ. The simple way we get it is that we are all witnesses, because look, we have an experience of our life, it's things that other people cannot match, or they cannot undo or change. If somebody has a dramatic healing, the most atheist of atheists, or any other religion or anything, cannot say you did not get healed. It's an absolute fact. You had cancer, then you didn't. Or you're in got to die of food poisoning or something, and boom, man, totally healed. And so many other things. I mean, there's remarkable kinds of healings. I've been to healing rallies, and it's very skeptical, you know, though I believe that God heals. But I really watch them, scrutiny, to see if somebody's faking it or something. Lots of fakery does go. But there are some things that you can't fake. And then there's some documented things about people's lives. And then they, you know, they have their testimony. You start believing, you start really hearing their testimony. And you know that they're not lying. So people, you've got to figure out how you've got to get out and witness. Because it's not being done. And you're supposed to. With your brain, you're supposed to figure out how you can go to foreign countries that don't have the gospel now, or you can also figure out how you're going to witness to outside your church building. You know, you ought to be able to go outside your church and witness around. Look at all those people sitting in your church. Kind of look around. How big is your church? A couple hundred? A couple thousand? A few thousand? A few hundred? How many is there? Can you figure out with them? Doesn't every one of them have a brain? Has some of them gone to college? Has some of them got PhDs? And how much money can you raise to pay the bill and all that, pay your pastor? You know, isn't that kind of interesting? If you need to have a building plan, you set up a little draft and everything to show how much money you're collecting for the building. Hey, you know, I've seen a lot of churches that they have a fantastic church model of their new church. They're this $8 million building. I remember seeing one like that and have right in the foyer so you could see where your money's going to. Isn't that kind of interesting? They already had a pretty big church. Nothing wrong with it, but pretty good. But anyway, but you can't figure it out? Some of you are rocket scientists. Some of you are just plain able to figure things out. Others of you can't do it. There's something you could get 1,000 people together in a moment. Someone could even work to get 10,000 people together. But you can't preach. Why don't you get the preachers that know the Lord and able to get the message out and get the 10,000 people for them to hear? You can't be the preacher. But don't sit there and say you can't do anything. You've got to find, you have come along in America to figure out how to preach the gospel, and we're not preaching the gospel. Oh boy, let's get on TBN and get an international Christian network of television so that we can say we're preaching all over the world. Now look at TBN. It's made up of the board and everything is almost all Masons. Paul Christ has given himself in to them and is going along with them and joining up, having one world religion about the deal. Of course they're not going to admit it. Why should they admit it? You think he's that kind of dumb that he doesn't know that who Masons are? That I think that you know. And all you can think about in yourself is, what can you do? Yeah, you know, this thing up here. Decades and decades. How old are you? You haven't been able to figure something out? How come? So there's a lot of people just dying to get out and minister, doing the job that every other all of us should be doing. Why don't you try to help them? Why don't you try to help them? You can't go out there. You don't feel any call, and you don't have any kind of message to give out, let alone being able to try to speak it. Why don't you go out there and you use your expertise to gather together crowds, to work things out, to use your facilities and stuff to advertise meetings and so forth and so on. Send teams out to other countries. Put your something together in your head. Don't do it the same old way. You know, let's go over, play missionary over to some country. It ain't get you nowhere. Feeding the hungry. The hungry is always going to be. The starvation is going to be here, people. Figure it out. Yeah, feed them. But also, figure it out. In our brains, we got here how to witness to them so that they can know Christ. So should they die of starvation, they'll at least know Christ and go to heaven. But the way it is now, you try to feed them all that you can, and they die and go to hell, right? Anyway, if you don't know Jesus, turn to him right now. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. Now read the King James Version, because all other versions, modern versions, are Satan counterfeits. Now get ready, people. Great shaking's kind of come up, and so many are going to turn your backs on Jesus.
To hear the distant thunder, to feel the whole world rumble, that's the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance of the rhythm of the angels, dance of the rhythm of God, dance of the rhythm of celebration, dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance of the rhythm of creation, dance of the rhythm of God, dance of the rhythm of revelation, dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Catch a sweet arctic tree blooming, catch a hear the storm clouds booming, catch a gale the mountains moving, that's the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Catch a dance of the rhythm of the angels, catch a dance of the rhythm of God, catch a dance of the rhythm of celebration, catch a dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Dance the dance of the rhythm of creation, dance the dance of the rhythm of God, dance the dance of the rhythm of revelation, dance the dance of the rhythm of the coming of the Lord. Say goodbye to the all things past, we have to live the roof of life, listen to the trumpet blast, God is coming soon. Dance on the rhythm of the angels.